Here's Glenn Davis.
Kane joining the 100 Club, drama, excitement, amazing goals, controversy, and more over the Premier League weekend. We can't wait to get into soccer talk here tonight. Led by the game of the weekend, that was Liverpool and Spurs. Salah, Kane, Wanyama with differing types of goals, all kinds of controversy. Offside, missed penalty calls, where do you stand? 713-780-3776. Manchester United are winners on the weekend. 60th anniversary of the Munich air disaster, that heavy on our hearts here tonight. Duncan Edwards, the Busby Babes going down. 60-year anniversary of that plane crash, and our good friend Tom Clare and many Manchester United fans meeting in Munich and in Manchester this weekend in memoriam. Raheem Sterling. Missing a sitter, City dropped 2 points. Stoke and Jeff Cameron had a 1-0 lead against Bournemouth and then go down 2-1. Jeff will be on the show tonight. We have a two-part interview here tonight and then another third part that we will run next week. Now, you will not want to miss the Jeff Cameron interview because he talks a lot about what it means to be in Stoke, if he's underappreciated as a player back here in the United States, if versatility has hurt him in the long run. But I know you're going to want to hear a little bit about what he has to say about the epic failure against Trinidad and Tobago. He has spoken out very strongly against the manager, Bruce Arena. It was a very, very good article in the New York Times. I want to get the man's name because he needs to be credited. I believe it was Mark Stein who went over to Stoke and did a great article. Cameron is one of only three players that are field players in the Premier League now with Danny Williams and DeAndre Yedlin. He has a lot to say about Clint Dempsey, who he believes has opened the door for many over there. We had it with John Harkes in the very, very beginning. But he cites Dempsey's attitude as something very, very special. So Jeff Cameron tonight, we're going to do two segments of that interview. This is Can't Miss Stuff. In studio will be Boniek Garcia of the Houston Dynamo. Now, Dynamo fans, I don't know where you are. I want to hear from you tonight, 713-780-3776. I want to know what your storylines are going into the season. I have some. I'm going to share mine with you. But I'd like to know what you think is the biggest storyline for the Houston Dynamo going into the season. 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. 713-780-3776, streaming at ESPN975.com. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, or Facebook, Soccer Matters. Liverpool fans, is Mo Salah destined for Spain? He might have another season, but my gut is he's going to be on his way to Real Madrid or Barcelona. The guy is unbelievable. Has 21 goals to Harry Kane's 22. Absolutely sensational this weekend. He had both of Liverpool's goals. And his movement is something I want to talk about tonight on this program. Because he doesn't sit in the interior. And we all know how good he is in tight spaces. All you got to do is look at the goal. We have it up on Facebook, Soccer Matters. Beats like three or four guys. Chips Lloris. Makes people look silly. But he also makes a ton of runs and a ton of movement over distance. He is not the kind of guy you want to play against Mo Salah if you are a defender. He does not give up on any plays. He makes more runs than the common striker. I relate this, and this may not be the best comparison, but I have a nephew who's a tremendous spear fisherman. And what I understand with my nephew, Khan, when it comes to spear fishing and the guys he does it with, he does more dives than anybody else because he's fitter. Sadly, I would just say he's a better athlete, but he can make more dives and put himself in a position to get fish. Mo Salah makes more runs, and they're long runs sometimes. But this guy is an absolute gem, an entertainment five-star in the league. I don't think any question. Are penalties being called too liberally now in soccer? And I'm referencing the Van Dijk incident in the Liverpool-Spurs match. Love to get your thoughts on that. Chelsea fans, should Antonio Conte go? And why has it become such a struggle? And all I got to do is think back to Diego Costa and N'Golo Kanté. That might come to mind. How many teams in the 20-team Premier League have a plus goal differential? You might be surprised. I'm going to tell you tonight. And Tom Brady had a big influence on one Harry Kane. Yes, that New England Patriots Tom Brady who set a Super Bowl record for passing yardage and went out a loser on Sunday in what was a great game. Yeah, I saw two great games on Sunday. So did you. Liverpool Spurs, and then we got to see the NFL Super Bowl. 713-780-3776. Let's get these phone lines going. Again, Mo Salah, we'll talk Premier League. We'll talk the Dynamo. What is the storyline for the Dynamo this year? Let's go to Bilal, who starts it off, wants to talk about Liverpool. Bilal.
Hey, Glenn, Soccer Matters.
Soccer Matters, buddy. What's going on?
I just want to say I'm not a Liverpool fan, but I felt like they were robbed of that victory over on Sunday. I thought the Harry Kane penalty, I thought he was offside. That should have immediately been sort of end of play, and there was no penalty. And the Van Dijk Lamella, I think that was a soft penalty. You'd say it's a penalty, but it was a very soft, and he went down very easily. And I think VAR would really get away with that first penalty.
It'll be instituted next year. These are controversial calls. The sad thing is they overshadow some incredible goals. Obviously, the goal from Mo Salah for Liverpool where he beats three or four guys and chips a goalkeeper. He comes out of an area you don't expect him to come out. And then, obviously, Wanyama's absolute pulverizing. I mean, he smashes his ball with power and accuracy. Two very different goals. But everybody's talking about the controversial decisions. I hear a lot of split on Van Dijk. I also see that, a player jumping in front of him, trying to initiate contact. 50-50 is what I see. I don't know what to say, Bilal. I just don't want to micro break it down because so many people have done it already.
I would say that I don't think Van Dijk coming in was sort of supposed to be the hero. Yeah, sure, they probably overpaid for him. But I think Liverpool's problems have always been defense, and then they've just added the fact that they can't stick to one goalkeeper. They keep going back and forth between the two. That position needs to be just solidified, and then everything else can sort itself out.
Well, if in fact you believe those are one of those two goalkeepers should be their full-time goalkeeper, and I think a lot of people don't believe that yet. Karius still has to prove himself. Mignolet is up and down, and you know what? You need a goalkeeper in that league and in any league to win you a couple games based on a performance. It's a position that can win you games. I don't think there's any question. Chris Seitz for the Houston Dynamo. What's that?
I was going to say, I don't think Liverpool's long-term goalkeeper is on their team yet. I think it's someone that they have to find over the summer. Maybe look at some of the up-and-coming stars from the World Cup or go and sort of farm one out from the academy.
I'm wondering when somebody's going to get Kasper Schmeichel from Leicester.
I think that's another. Leicester City is in its own little mess with Riyad Mahrez on strike. I think that's just a childish move on his part.
Yeah, no question about that. He's still a professional, getting paid well. Listen, I can understand why he's disappointed because he thought the move was going to happen prior. They pull out of the deal, and now they got an unhappy guy, and that's part of the way professional soccer works now. But Professionalism is about your own moral compass and integrity. So that'll be one to watch. I think we see it with a lot of players. Bilal, thank you for kicking it off tonight.
Thank you, sir.
All right, let's go to Ray. Ray, what's on your mind tonight? 713-780-3776. Ray.
Hey, Glenn. I was just wondering, have you endorsed any U.S. soccer president? And who do you think is going to be the best fit? And who do you think is going to win? And if there's one question I'd like to ask the candidate is that Kathy Carter, she's the head of some. And in the last 15 years, I heard on a podcast that Mexico made over $1 billion. Where is that money going? What percentage of that money goes back into player development and where it's a community where it's coming from? In San Antonio, they drew over 25,000.
Well,
they sell out all the time when they play. The Mexican national team sells out all the time when they play in Houston.
Well, I mean, from a profit standpoint, this is Mexico's home, the United States, when it comes to playing games. They'll play important games at Azteca, but they're not making the money in Mexico they can make here. They are partnered with some. I would say that one of the big issues that people want to know is that U.S. soccer, we have to remember, first and foremost, has been a money-making organization. They have 100 and whatever it is. Don't quote me. 160, 65 million. I don't know why they would be sitting on all of that and why more of that can't be with a proper plan in place, invested in the grassroots, because that is the future, the grassroots. As far as endorsing anybody, I haven't endorsed anybody. I'm keeping that all to myself because I just don't think people really care that much who I would endorse. What I do want to see, though, is I do like the fact that there's guys with soccer backgrounds in there, but there is still a nebulous nature to the job description that makes it interesting to me, and you know, it makes it a little bit confusing, quite frankly. The vote will be in 2 days, I think. You have voting members from the Athletes Council, state associations. All these votes are done in private, from the youth, the adult, the professional side of it. You've got the Athletes Council. In fact, locally here, Brian Ching and Stuart Holden, two former Dynamo players, have a vote in it. But Kate Margraf, who I've worked with a lot, Christy Rampone have a vote. Allie Wagner, Jonathan Spector. These are some of the names I'm shooting out. Carlos Bocanegra, Shannon Box. And then, you know, there's past presidents certainly have the voting right. Rothenberg, Hank Steinbrecher. Bob Contagulia, Robert Contagulia. So, you know, it's a cross-section, which is just kind of the way it goes. And we'll find out who's going to be the new president. It's Saturday is when the vote's going to take place in Orlando. I think you've seen, you know, obviously groups like the American Outlaws are supporting I believe Kyle Martino, but I think they're more akin to guys like Martino and Winalda and somebody with a soccer playing background. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what has to happen, but I think it's a shift. By the way, that will stream on ussoccer.com. So there's my plug for US soccer. So that takes place this weekend. Ray, anything else you want to say tonight?
Oh yeah, real quick is that VAR. I told people that instant replay doesn't clarify things when there's gray issues, and that's why you don't see instant replay and pass interference calls. I think when it's clear cut, then you can use it. But if, anytime there's controversy, I think it just slows up the game, and people we still talk about it. And I don't know what a penalty and what isn't a penalty anymore, and what offsides and what isn't offsides anymore.
I'm not sure a lot of people know. You're not the first who said that today, listening to a lot of other shows today.
But I think Conte is gone. I just hope he lasts for the Manchester United game because we want to see the duke it out on the sidelines. And but I'm more worried about Almeida not getting fired down in Chivas. That team's a train wreck after last year they won the championship.
Well, he's apparently opening a soccer school up in the Woodlands, or at least putting his name on one, so we'll see. But Yeah. Speaking of the Mexican League, Kubo Torres has been on the bench for two consecutive games for Unam Pumas, who are tied in first place with America and Rayados. Landon Donovan is yet to debut for León. León got smacked this past weekend by Rayados. Ray, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
713-780-3776. How interested are you in the U.S. soccer presidency? Do we want some things to change? Some people claim it's been a bit of a sort of closed society, not inclusive enough. I don't think without any doubt that more opinions, and there's a lot of people that are very talented soccer people in this country that need to be heard and brought to the table. Liverpool plans, do you think Mo Salah's destined for Spain eventually? Are penalties being called too liberally now in soccer? 713-780-3776. And by the way, it comes down to the referee and the linesman. You could interpret the Van Dijk thing in so many different ways. It comes down to the men on the field. How many teams in the 20-team Premier League have a plus goal differential? Take a guess. 713-780-3776. It's only seven. Now, look, we've all missed chances of ease in soccer, no matter what level you play at. Okay, so I don't care whether you've been a youth player, an amateur player, high school player, professional. Right now, I want you to tell me. You saw Raheem Sterling's miss this weekend. And by the way, he's one of the top scorers in the Premier League this year. I think he's got 14. He had one of the easiest chances, which would have sealed it for City against Burnley. In the end, they dropped the 2 points in a draw 1-1. What was your worst miss as a soccer player? Come clean. Have some fun with this one. Your worst miss. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. And Dynamo fans, have the Dynamo done enough in the offseason, in your opinion? You're seeing all the activity around the league. You've seen a 27-year-old Chilean international being signed by Sporting Kansas City. You're seeing the use of targeted allocation money being used to pry away key figures for teams like Justin Merrim of Columbus. Players are on the move. There's a lot going on. There's deals being made. And I mentioned about storylines this year. What is it for the Houston Dynamo, in your opinion, when it comes to storylines? So, Manchester City on 69 points. I think a lot of this in the Premier League is about them staying interested, balancing their interest with the Champions League. Manchester United on 56 points. They've got Alexis now. Manchester United has 15 shutouts. Is that more to the pragmatism of Mourinho? Liverpool, 51 points. Chelsea, 50. So that's your top four. Chelsea sitting on 50 in fourth place with Antonio Conte, and I believe his ego is playing a big part in this. Chelsea fans, should Conte stay or go? Spurs is in the Europa League place in fifth on 49 points. So they're still in with a shout, especially after getting that draw. That was big time. Arsenal on 45. Burnley on 36. Now, Spurs has become a more fashionable team in the Premier League because of a guy named Harry Kane. Some people are calling him a cheat after this game against Liverpool. Many are saying penalties are called too easily. Some are saying these calls are killing the game. The two managers were on the complete opposite side on all these calls, in Mauricio Pochettino of Spurs, of course, and for Liverpool, their manager, Jurgen Klopp. Manchester City has scored 74 goals. Manchester United has only given up 18 goals. City has given up 19. But Manchester City at 74 goals have scored 23 more goals than Manchester United. That is a lot of goals, 23 more than the next closest team. Now, you may not be a City fan. You may not like Pep. But you got to respect what he's doing here in his second year in the Premier League. You have to respect that that is entertaining soccer week in and week out. It's a must watch, in my opinion. They are definitive in how they want to play the game. And it's positive. It's proactive. It's not reactive. I love it. Remember when Fellaini went off, by the way, for Manchester United? Knee surgery. 713-780-3776. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll do one more segment, and then it's time for one Oscar Boniek Garcia of the Houston Dynamo. And he's going to be coming on the program, talking about the Dynamo season, what it's like to play for Honduras. One of the great smiles in all of Major League Soccer, Boniek Garcia, and a changing role for him as well. 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. And again, Dynamo fan, I want to hear from you. As we take a break, a quick reminder for the Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, presenting sponsors of this show. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach, DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT, 713-322-4878. They're bilingual. They'll handle your car accident, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery. They're going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. 713-322-HURT. Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Let's take a Carlsberg break.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show, soccer fans. The real soccer pub in Edo is the King's Court. It's right next to the stadium at 903 Hutchins. 13 TVs, giant big screen at the King's Court. They show the Premier League, La Liga, Champions League, Bundesliga, and Oscar Boniek Garcia and the Houston Dynamo. King's Court, 24 taps, full bar, extensive selection of spirits. They've got great pub food down there. Get over to King's Court. Visit the amazing rooftop deck that sits in the shadows of the stadium. Say hello to Jay. It's kingscourttx.com. So if I was talking NFL Super Bowl, I'm doing an audible right now, which means, if I was Tom Brady, which means we're going to do Oscar Boniek Garcia right now. His lovely wife is here as well. And the reason we're having him on now, I don't want him to wait out there in the green room. So I want to get him on the air, and we're going to do that right now. This is so when Oscar came in, we said we're going to do an exclusive interview in English, and he had a huge smile on his face, and then he shook his hands and said, no, 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 no. So welcome Oscar in, please, Hector. Hector Casteltort will do the translation.
Te da la bienvenida y te agradece mucho que te hayas tomado el tiempo. Y bueno, como dijo que cuando te dijo que iba a hacer una entrevista en inglés, que como que no supiste qué decir.
No, gracias por la invitación.
Thanks for the invitation.
And you know, Oscar, not only is he a fantastic soccer player, Honduran legend, but he has what I believe is the greatest, and I don't want him to take this the wrong way because this is a big asset. He has the greatest smile in Major League Soccer.
Dice que no solamente eres un gran jugador y una leyenda en el fútbol hondureño, pero que también tienes una de las mejores sonrisas de toda la liga.
All right, so now that I've gotten that out of the way, let's get serious here. How disappointing was it for Oscar and his Honduran teammates not to go to the World Cup, to get that close? Is it something he's processed and gotten out of his system now?
¿Cómo te sientes después de que no se pudo llegar al Mundial con la selección?
Pues la verdad que triste porque no se logró el objetivo que queríamos, que era la clasificación. Después de darle una alegría más a nuestro país, lastimosamente no se pudo obtener.
I feel a little bit sad because we were not able to fulfill the objective that we had traced to, which was to bring joy to our country by soccer and taking them to a World Cup.
How much of that pressure comes from wanting to live up to the desires, the dreams of your countrymen when it comes to going to the World Cup? And by the way, we have Jeff Cameron on the show as well tonight, who also fell short with the U.S.
¿Qué tanta presión te da el tratar de llevar y representar a tu país a un mundial? Y como dice, o sea, también más de rato va a venir Jeff Cameron de Estados Unidos, que también no tuvieron la oportunidad, que fallaron en el objetivo, pero ¿qué tanta presión te da a ti eso?
Pues la verdad que mucho, porque las expectativas eran ahí, que se podía dar un paso muy grande al mundial. No se logró por X razones, no se pudo obtener la clasificación. La verdad que sí hubo bastante presión, sobre todo del periodismo hacia los jugadores de no poder llevar la clasificación al mundial, tanto a los jugadores como al cuerpo técnico.
There was a lot of pressure because there was a lot of expectations that we were going to make it. And unfortunately, we were not able to. And also, there was a lot of pressure from the press who were, like, expecting us to take the national team to a World Cup.
Is that press pressure and the countrymen's pressure on Honduras and the team, is it something that he feels you can manage, or does it sometimes spiral out of control?
Esa presión que te puede poner la prensa o los mismos fanáticos, ¿es algo que se puede manejar o tú crees que a lo mejor puede ser muy intensa, que no se controla?
Obviamente, nosotros como los jugadores que somos protagonistas dentro de la cancha, tenemos que saber manejar todo tipo de presión. Obviamente que ya las circunstancias durante el terreno, ya la presión había crecido aún más. Llegar a esa instancia en los últimos dos juegos para la clasificación, sí había bastante presión porque obviamente se quería clasificar y después de hacer un viaje tan largo hasta Australia, sabíamos que era bastante complicada esa clasificación.
As players, we learn how to manage that pressure. And obviously when it came to those last two games, there was a lot of pressure. And on top of it, you had such a long trip that there was a lot going on. So there was pressure there.
Was the crowd in Australia intimidating?
¿Les intimidó un poco la fanaticada en Australia?
La verdad que no. Sí nos sorprendió de que el estadio estuviera totalmente lleno, pero sí, no nos intimidó para nada. La verdad que la única diferencia fue que ellos manejaron el control emocional a favor de ellos y nosotros no pudimos controlar eso dentro de la cancha.
No, I mean, we were really surprised about the stadium being a sold-out game, but it did intimidate us. I think at the end, they were able to handle the game better than we did.
Boñac García joining us in studio here. Hector Castletort of the Houston Dynamo doing the translation. We always thank Hector for his great work. The passion for football in Honduras, where does it come from? And how much of a part of a young boy's life is passion for football?
¿De dónde viene tanta pasión en Honduras por el fútbol? ¿Y qué tanto de eso consume la vida de un niño?
Pues desde las calles creo que eso se va creciendo en Honduras. La pasión por jugar en primera división, eso crece aún cada día. Por querer participar en un mundial, y por ahí nace eso.
I mean, since you're a little boy and you're playing on the streets with your friends, there's a lot of passion to go and play at the first division, at the top level, and even more so to play and represent your country at a World Cup.
Does he feel, did he feel it was very different when he came to the United States initially to see how organized soccer is at the youth level?
¿Te llamó un poco la atención cuando llegaste a los Estados Unidos y viste lo organizado que era la liga en el sentido de las academias y las fuerzas básicas?
Sin lugar a duda, es algo que no tenemos en nuestros países. El nivel futbolístico, el nivel de las canchas que ayuda aún más, las academias que van formando edades por edad a cada jugador para poder llegar a un nivel altísimo a la MLS.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, we don't have those type of things in my country, and you know they have the level of the fields that are here, the way they're able to manage all the different age groups so that the kids can develop and grow. It's pretty impressive.
Does he feel that can stunt creativity, kind of kill creativity, like street football to what he sees here?
¿Tú crees que el hecho de que sea tan organizado pueda matar un poco la creatividad del jugador que crece en las calles?
Es una pregunta muy complicada porque la verdad yo vengo de jugar en las calles, te dejan que te diviertas, que te soltes. Vengo creciendo con equipos donde te puedo decir que te levantabas un domingo, iba a jugar a las 9, después otro partido a las 11, iba jugando constantemente. Y pues aquí, por ahí es bastante complicado por el tema de, ¿cómo te diría? De la educación, pues. De la educación que quieren que el jugador sea por ahí, no lo dejan desenvolverse como él quisiera en la cancha.
You know, it's a complex question for me to answer because where I come from, we, in our culture, it was more of you go to the street and play and you have fun and you just enjoyed it and do it for the sake of playing. And, you know, on a Sunday, you will wake up and go play a game at 9 in the morning and then you go and play another game at 11 o'clock in the morning. As we're in the United States, it's more focused on the development of the player and them, you know, like focusing on education as well and implementing other factors that in other countries that are not as implemented.
Now, he has Oscar Bonilla-Garcia joining us in studio. He has two sons that look like they love playing soccer. How much is he involved with them when it comes to soccer? Because I see him playing with them, but is he letting them grow with it or is he giving them pointers now at a young age?
Con tus dos hijos, con tu familia en general, que se ve que les encanta el fútbol, ¿tú ahorita los estás dejando que se desenvuelvan y que solamente lo disfruten o les estás dando algún tipo de consejos o cómo?
En este momento los dejo que disfruten. Obviamente que siempre hay que llevarlos con una educación, pero en este momento, a la edad que ellos tienen, hay que dejarlos que disfruten. En ciertas ocasiones me he puesto a decirle que hagan esto, y como que los aburres a ellos por momento, entonces mejor los dejo que ellos interactúen ellos por sí solos.
You know, right now I'm just letting them enjoy. You know, they are so young. I'm just letting them enjoy soccer for the passion of it. But you know, sometimes I might give them some pointers. I might tell them, you know, what to do and what not, and they don't seem really interested into that.
But I don't see Oscar as going to be one of those crazy soccer parents.
Que si tú te ves como uno de esos papás que son muy energéticos cuando los niños juegan de pequeños.
Bueno. En estas instancias, ahorita que estamos en la pretemporada, es bastante complicado intelectual y jugar bastante con ellos. Pero cuando sí estoy de vacaciones o no llevo muy cansado de la casa, sí me gusta jugar bastante con ellos.
Y, por ejemplo, cuando tus hijos están en liga, ¿te vas a hacer ese papá que se pone en el sideline y empieza a gritarle a todo el mundo o no?
No, para nada. No soy de ese tipo de padre. No.
So, right now, because we're in preseason, it's kind of hard for me to go and be playing with them, but you know, once rhythm starts going and whatnot, I'm able to spend time with them and play more with them more so. And to answer your question, no, I'm not gonna be one of those crazy parents that are gonna go everywhere. That's not a personality.
I didn't think so. I want to switch to something that I know is very dear to Oscar Bonilla Garcia's heart, and that is the influence of his mother. And I know from past interviews, your mom has been incredibly influential in his life. Can he talk a little bit about the influence his mother had on him and has on him?
¿Puedes hablar un poco sobre la influencia que tiene tu madre en ti, que tuvo en tu crecimiento?
No, pues bastante. Creo que fue de las madres que ha sido estricta, pero en sí me ha ayudado a crecer. Me ha dado el apoyo total en lo futbolístico. Al principio no me lo daba porque zapatos que me compraba, zapatos que solo me duraba una semana y y quieras o no era bastante complicado porque solo ella trabajaba en la casa, pero al final de cuentas me dio el apoyo total y gracias a ella hemos crecido en ese sentido.
You know, she has always supported me. There has been a lot of support from her, but she was also a little strict sometimes, and the support wasn't something that just came overnight, because I would buy a pair of shoes, she would buy me a pair of shoes, and I would broke it by the following week because I was playing soccer. So that kind of it grew, her support just grew a little by little, but she has always been there.
Bonya Garcia joining us in studio. What does he think is important for the future of the Honduran national team?
¿Qué crees que es importante para el futuro de la selección hondureña?
Pues, primero que se organicen a nivel de la federación. Las canchas tienen que arreglarlas para que haga un mejor espectáculo en el terreno. Que la afición se involucre más. Que las barras dejen de estar incidiendo mucho. Que si van al estadio que apoye y que no armen relajo, porque todo el aficionado quiere disfrutar del buen fútbol en las canchas y por ahí se han alejado por los disturbios que hacen las barras.
First off, I think we should get a little bit more organized. And with that, I feel that they should better the fields. And for the fan base.
Facilities.
Yeah, facilities. And also for the fan base to grow closer to us. But at the same time, you know, the barras, the groups that come together, for them not to be destructive or disruptive of the game. And another thing about the fields is also that because the fields are not well done, it doesn't let the spectacle grow of soccer. But yeah.
We're going to take a break. We've got more with Bonya Garcia. We are very happy that he's in studio here. Very fortunate to have him in here. We're going to continue a little on Honduras and growth in Honduras with football, and then we'll segue into the Dynamo, the upcoming season, and what the expectations are here coming into 2018. So a big thank you for Bonya Garcia being in studio. We got one more segment with him. If you want to call in with the question, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. And our Carlsberg Player of the Week, we're going to give it to Mo Salah for that crazy goal he scored against Spurs. Carlsberg, probably the best beer in the world. Denmark also going to the World Cup is a great story, as it's the Danish beer. But Carlsberg, probably the best beer in the world, and our thanks to Carlsberg and Clay Kavilion. We'll take a break. We got more to come.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back as we continue on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Later to come in the show, two segments with Jeff Cameron on the U.S. national team, on playing at Stoke, the pressure of being in the relegation zone right now, and then some insight into what happened with the U.S. not qualifying for the next World Cup. In studio right now, we're so pleased to have Bonya Garcia. He did mention, Oscar mentioned before we went to break, you know, that he would love to see the facilities change in Honduras. Is that possible? Is there the finances there to try and improve certain areas of facilities?
Dijiste que antes de ir al break, dijiste que te gustaría ver algún tipo de cambio en las canchas, en todo lo que envuelve un equipo de fútbol. ¿Crees que hay la infraestructura para hacer eso en Honduras?
Pues no sé si está el presupuesto para mejorar las canchas, pero si se le puede pedir ayuda a la FIFA o la FIFA ya ha intervenido para que ayuden y no han podido arreglar las canchas, pues es bastante complicado. Pero si está el presupuesto, pues sería bueno que se mejorara el terreno de cancha en todas las áreas de Honduras.
I mean, I don't know if there's a budget for all the fields in Honduras to change, to be improved. But, you know, like, if we can ask help from FIFA to help out, I think that's one way to help on that regard. And if there's a budget, you know, it would be good for them to start working on that.
How about the Honduran Federation? Do they give back? Do they have anything to give back? I mean, they have gone to the World Cup. They have accumulated some funds. Where does that money go? Do we know?
La Federación Hondureña tendrá algún tipo de presupuesto que pueda ayudar para esas mejoras o
no sé la verdad. No sé la verdad si tendrá el presupuesto para hacer mejoras de las canchas.
To be truly honest with you, I don't know. I don't know if they'll have the budget to if they have the budget to do those improvements on the fields.
Switching gears now, let's go to the Houston Dynamo. So versatile is Boniac Garcia. Where is his preference now at this point in his career on the field to play?
Eres un jugador muy versátil. Vamos a cambiar de tema y hablemos del Dynamo. Eres un jugador muy versátil.
Portero.
¿Dónde te gustaría jugar? ¿Dónde te gusta jugar a este punto de tu carrera?
Cuando estuve más joven jugué de portero, pero obviamente por la estatura ya no le doy al portero. Pues la verdad, para serte sincero, bueno, esta pretemporada el profe me ha puesto de 10, atrás del delantero. Me he sentido bastante cómodo. Pero obviamente son situaciones que ya el profesor lo irá manejando si estoy bien de 10 o si no me retrasa de 5. Obviamente me siento tranquilo en cualquiera de las dos posiciones, tanto de 10 o como de retrasado de 5.
When I was younger, I was a goalkeeper. But then as I grew, the height didn't really help me in that position any longer. No, right now in the preseason, I've been playing as a number 10. I have been feeling comfortable. But, you know, like, if Wilmer needs me to be moved and play more of an A5 role, like, I'll feel comfortable in there as well. But, you know, I'll just feel comfortable wherever the coach needs me.
Oscar Boniac Garcia joining us here in studio. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Where does the team go this year? How does it step up from last year? Now, and I'm not just talking about the fact that they got to the conference final. Obviously, the playoffs are the target again. But as a team and the way they play, is there things that we should expect potentially to change this year?
¿Cómo puede mejorar este equipo? Obviamente, el año pasado se llegaron hasta los playoffs y los playoffs siempre son algo que se espera que llegue un equipo. Pero no solamente en eso, sino ¿qué se puede esperar que haya dentro del equipo algún cambio o algo por el estilo?
Pues se ha hecho bastante énfasis en el control de balón, tener más tendencia del balón. Y cuando no lo tengamos, pues tratar de recuperarlo lo más pronto posible en el terreno donde se pierda. Si es en el territorio del equipo contrario, mucho mejor para nosotros y sufrimos menos atrás.
Right now we have been, there has been a lot of emphasis on controlling the ball, on keeping the ball more, having more possession. But we have also been working on recovering the ball. If we lose the ball, try to recover that ball as fast as we can. And you know, especially if it's on the opponent's side, that's even better for us.
Is that something that they feel like, because that happened at the beginning of the year, the team then transformed into a team that was trying to find a little more balance in the middle third of the field. End of the year, it was really the defending side that took it. So is that something, without all the other stuff I just said, is that something that the Dynamo hope to do more this year, is play a high-pressing game?
¿Tú crees que el Dynamo está buscando esta temporada el jugar un poco más hacia arriba, presionando al rival?
Pues eso es lo que está buscando el profe. Esa es la idea, tratar de presionar, presionarlo más cerca del área de ellos para así no sufrir tanto atrás.
That's what we're going after, to be a high press team, so that we are pressing and we don't suffer as much in the back.
How does Bonya Garcia Oscar now change as he's getting a little older in his career? Things change to extend your career. How does he feel his game is changing now?
A manera que vas creciendo, te vas haciendo más experimentado, tu tipo de juego cambia. ¿Cómo crees que tu juego ha cambiado?
Pues ya no tengo aquellas corridas como la tuve hace 5 años cuando recién llegué al equipo. Ahora tengo mayor control del balón. Pues tengo que tener la tranquilidad y la visión para poder habilitar a los delanteros, que es algo bastante importante que está buscando.
I don't have the sprints that I used to have 5 years ago when I just joined the team. But my possession of the ball has been better, and I've been able to stop and look and try to figure out what's the best way to play the ball to my teammates.
Bonya Garcia joining us in studio. The Houston Dynamo will open up with Atlanta. HoustonDynamo.com is where you go. Last question before we let Oscar go. What type of coach is Wilmer Cabrera?
¿Puedes hablar un poco sobre el tipo de entrenador que es Wilmer Cabrera?
Es un técnico que ha sabido manejar al grupo, que la llevó a las instancias de los playoffs cuando teníamos 3-4 años de no poder clasificar. Un técnico que viene agarrando aún más experiencia, que quiere llevar al equipo a lo más alto, y esperemos que se le pueda brindar la oportunidad, tanto a él como a mi persona, de poder obtener el título este año.
He's a coach that has been able to manage the team pretty well. He took a team that hadn't qualified to the playoffs to one of the highest stages. And hopefully we're able to, not only him, but myself and the whole team, we're able to go to the highest stage that there is, which is to win the title this year.
My best and big thanks to Oscar Bonya Garcia for coming in studio. Thank you very much. Mucho gusto otra vez en el estudio. And we thank you very much, Oscar, for coming in.
Que te agradece mucho por estar aquí y por haberte dado el tiempo.
De nada, estamos a la orden, a la exposición. La próxima va a ser en inglés.
Thank you very much.
He said the next interview will be in English.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's
see,
what
I
he
know
said
Spanish.
There you go.
Spanish. All right, we're going to take a break. Our thanks to Oscar Bonya Garcia, Hector Casteltort. Houston Dynamo will kick it off in March against Atlanta. They continue their preseason. They'll be heading out to Arizona soon. Get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Kings Court break right now. Get down to Kings Court right next to the stadium. 903 Hutchins, 13 TVs, giant big screen. Kings Court shows the Premier League, La Liga, the Bundesliga, and the Houston Dynamo. Go say hello to Jay. KingsCourtTX.com.